Support for WMNF comes from our members in the Capitol Theater in downtown Clearwater presenting Renaissance. Performing both Turn the Cards and Scheherazade and Other Stories in their entirety, UK progressive rock band Renaissance brings their two-part show Saturday, October 6th at 8 p.m. More at atthecap.com. I'm Duncan Strauss, really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll discuss cats, comedy, and who knows what else, with Paula Poundstone, the regular panelist on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, veteran comedian and very devoted cat fancier. First, though, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Nico Case with Maybe Sparrow here on Talking Animals.
Maybe Sparrow, you should wait. The hawks alight till morning. You never pass beyond the gate if you don't hear my warning. Notes are hung so effortless with the rise and fall of Sparrow's breast. It's a drowning dive and back to the chorus. La di da di da di da. Metal wings in a thunderstorm above the clouds. The engine hums, the sparrows praise. Those who cannot hear the words, those who cannot hear the words, those who will not hear the words. La di da di da di da. La di da di da di da.
Nico Case with Maybe Sparrow, an animal tune, sorts to ease us into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Later in the show, we'll be speaking with today's guest, veteran comedian Paula Poundstone, perhaps best known as a regular panelist on NPR's popular weekly quiz show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. She's been doing stand-up in a distinctive conversational style for more than 30 years, and has done scores of TV shows, her own specials, written a book, recorded CDs, and more. With wry understatement, we could call her a cat person. Last time she was on the show, she and her family at that point shared their home with 16 cats. We'll discuss the current feline population and more when Paula Poundstone joins us later in the show here on Talking Animals. And while speaking with Paula, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Though unfortunately, Our computers may be down at the moment, which would preclude receiving an email at the DJ address until they come back up. And, of course, also prevent online streaming, which I'm very, very sorry about. And, of course, folks trying to listen online can't hear me explaining this right now. But the show will be archived on both the WMNF and Talking Animals websites for those who miss out on it online at the moment. Again, my apologies. A bit later in the show, we'll step into the Comedy Corner. Shortly, we'll play Name That Animal Tune. The winner will receive a Talking Animals baseball cap, a collector's item of sorts, since we retired our original logo recently and introduced our spiffy new logo. So, also as part of switching things around today, in a few minutes, we'll speak with Dr. Diana Maddox, the founder of Spay Pasco, about their Paws in the Park event, taking place this Saturday, September 29th, at San Antonio City Park in San Antonio, Florida. Right now, though, it's time for the Animal News and Announcements segment. We'll look at items of interest in animal news, as well as announcements of local events on the horizon, produced, as always, by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department. Our first item, well, I just want to say a couple of WMNF related notes. There's been some lovely tributes on WNF to Hal David since the extraordinary lyricist died earlier this month. And Flea did a Hal David special Monday, noon to 3, on his great show, It's the Music, and it was a fantastic program from start to finish. Just great, wonderful, wonderful music from the team of Hal David and Bert Bacharach. He's lobbying for the team to be referred that way, by the way. Interwoven with pieces of a wonderful interview Terry Gross did with Hal David and some Elvis Costello interview action and more. So can get that on the archives till next Monday. I highly recommend it if you haven't had didn't have a chance to hear it live on Monday. So that's Monday. Look for on the schedule for the archives. It's the Music, noon to 3 with Flea. And there's also, by the way, a pretty cool Hal David tribute, one of the better ones I've seen online or in print, at this magazine called Deep Roots Magazine. It's deeproutsmag.org. And really kind of one of the best, most refreshing tributes to Hal David, like I say, in print or online that I've seen. And I don't just say that because I write a monthly column with the Talking Animals for that magazine. But it's a pretty cool little magazine overall. So while we're talking about members of the WMNF family, I just want to mention that our own Glenn Hatchell, host of the Thursday morning show and puts together these dog play groups, and he's a dog trainer and pet sitter and many, many things, will be featured, I think, on a segment tonight of The List at 7 p.m. on WFTS, the ABC affiliate in Tampa. And they taped a segment, apparently, at the Humane Society talking about what to do after you've adopted a dog. So be sure to check that out, or if you can't, set your DVR, right? Okay. So, now, speaking of Paula, which we have been and we will be, she is not only going to be our guest in a few minutes here on Talking Animals, but she'll be performing stand-up at Stratus Center's Ferguson Hall October 6th. That's a few days before our fall fun drive starts on October 10th. So you can pledge today to see the magic of Paula performing stand-up. And by doing so, help support Talking Animals and WMNF. And help us get jump-started for our fun drive, which starts really 2 weeks from today. Yikes! So a $100 pledge gets you great, great seats, a pair of great, great seats to see Paula. And again, helps Talking Animals, helps WMNF. So we can take your pledge at some point, either by email or later on when I'm not talking on the mic. We have to take it over the phone at 813-239-9663. So, and again, if you're not either able to go to that show or pledge at that moment, we do hope that you'll support Talking Animals either on October 10th, the first day of our fun drive, and we're sort of right out of the box Wednesday morning, one of the first shows up seeking your support, so hope you'll do that. But we'd love to get, again, your support before that. If there's any way you could help us just sort of prime the pump and have a little cushion to get started with, that'd be great. So if you like Talking Animals and the work we do here, appreciate the interviews and the wide array of guests. Enjoy the animal comedy and songs, etc. I'd love to have you slip something in our tip jar. That would help us tremendously. So just go to WMNF.org, which, again, at the moment may be not easy to access, but it will be shortly, I'm sure. Click on the full schedule link in the upper left-hand corner. Click on Talking Animals, of course, Wednesdays, 11 a.m. to noon. Zoom up from there and click on the tip jar. And then, you know, if you can drop in $30, $50, $100 even, whatever, that'd be great. Whatever you can swing just to help talking animals get a head start here for the fun drive. That would be fantastic and much, much appreciated. So, and as always, we will have some exclusive talking animals, exclusive premiums or thank you gifts. So again, we have the Paula Poundstone tickets before the fun drive. But among other things, don't want to give too much away, but we'll have this incredible opportunity at this elephant sanctuary in California called Paws to do a two-day weekend getaway to hang with the elephants, basically, and meet and greet some elephants, see some other animals there, and just have pretty amazing experience. And going to have insane tickets to see the Who when they come through and do Quadrophenia. And, of course, we, as always, we'll have a week's stay at the condo in Kauai. And didn't really imagine this when I arranged this a week or two ago with Louis C.K.'s manager. But we're going to have killer tickets to his shows November 29th at the Straz. And I think we're also going to have signed DVDs of the second season of Louis. And, of course, he won two Emmys the other night, one for his stand-up special and one for his series that he writes and directs and edits and stars in, Louis. So kind of the man of the hour in the comedy world. So hopefully you'll want to support that and us. And there's other things, too, which we'll fill you in on more next week and, of course, online in various locations. So on to some actual animal news, tracking the ongoing saga of this nightmarish scenario that's happened with the Toronto Zoo, and the elephants are or are not going to be transferred to California Sanctuary, the one we just mentioned, in fact, Paws. And the story from the Toronto Star starts off, it looks like the Toronto Zoo's three elephants won't be heading south of the border until the spring. That's because the zoo's senior veterinarian has deep concerns about what he says are, quote, active cases of tuberculosis at the California Sanctuary, where city council last October ordered the elephants sent to. Dr. Graham Crawshaw told the zoo's board of directors and later reporters Tuesday that the zoo's due diligence probe of the Paws Sanctuary is still ongoing, and there are still unresolved concerns and questions about TB at the facility. Among the medical records the zoo is still seeking from Paws are updated TB results for elephants currently at the facility. Crawshaw said in an interview, it's more than reasonable to assume there is active TB in Asian elephants at Paws, Crawshaw told reporters. And, of course, there's all kinds of disputes, but really this is all kind of gamesmanship that the zoo people and the city councilors seem to be playing and holding off getting these elephants to this great sanctuary in California where they have plenty of land to roam and be elephants, and they've delayed now enough where they probably aren't going to do it in the midst of the harsh winter temperatures and climates in Toronto. So anyways, we'll keep you posted on that. So closer to home, and even more depressing. On Friday, September 7th, an incident occurred at Hernando County Animal Services involving the euthanasia of a dog in error. Two dogs, which were very similar in appearance, were mixed up, and the dog, which had been brought in as a stray to the shelter on September 5th, was euthanized instead of a dog which had been surrendered by its owner at the shelter on August 6th. The error was brought to the attention of Mike Nickerson, public safety director, by animal services staff on the same day it occurred. So there's, perhaps needless to say, been some personnel changes at that department, but they still have a lot of work to do to sort out some of their problems. Another sort of disturbing story, kind of local. Can you remember the last memorable party you attended? When Bob Barrett is invited, no one ever forgets he operates the alligator attraction in Johns Pass, Florida. He came up with a way to make money when tourism is slow. Then we had the idea of, if we do a home and we have a pool, let's put the gator in the pool. People were very leery at the beginning, but it has taken off, and people just enjoy it. He tapes the mouth of the gator and get the swim of their lives. Quote, you've had the Chuck E. Cheese party, you've had the clown party, you've had the Jumparoo bounce house party. Well, when you say you're going to have a party, they go, that's nice. We're going to have a pool party. That's nice. We're going to have a pool party with a gator. Everybody comes. Okay. And I mentioned this last week, but definitely want to mention again, if you happen to live in the 33610 area code, the Humane Society of Tampa Bay Animal Health Center is offering cat sterilizations for indoor-outdoor cats living in that zip code that could not be more reasonable. We can't say the exact price, but could not be more reasonable thanks to a grant from PetSmart Charities. So if you want to find out more about that, need to call 813-870-3304, 813-870-3304, and you're also invited to a fundraiser dinner for our friends, the Little Cats Rescues, are having at Sweet Tomatoes in Palm Harbor tomorrow night. Simply go to Facebook and search for the Little Cats Rescue, and then there's a invitation that you can print out, and you get a cool deal. Again, we can't get into the financial specifics, but the money you said that results from that do help the Little Cats Rescue. And we're going to have to come back. I think we got other announcements and news items that we're going to try to get to, but we're going to sort of moving things around. We're going to do Name That Animal Tune. And so if this is a giveaway. You do not need to be a WMNF member to win, but there'll be a prize, a Talking Animals baseball cap, to the first person who calls in to the correct title of this animal tune at 813-239-9663. In a moment, we'll speak with Dr. Maddox about this Saturday's Paws in the Park event happening in San Antonio, Florida. Right now, it's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals.
You know, they always say the reason.
Sorry. Moving things around today and a little technical challenges. All right. Well, if anybody can name that animal tune, we'll deal with that later in the show. Right now, I want to introduce Dr. Maddox. Welcome, Dr. Maddox, to Talking Animals.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. And so let's jump in. What, first of all, I know this is directly hooked to Spay Pasco, which you are the founder of. What exactly is Spay Pasco?
Spay Pasco is a nonprofit organization that I started back in 2007. When I realized that Pasco County was just not making any headway on the pet overpopulation problem. They were euthanizing 10,000 animals every single year, year after year, and they had some programs in place, but none of them seemed to be stemming the tide of animals coming into the shelter. So I did some research and knew there had to be some solution. And what I found out is that if you target low-income families that want to get their pets spayed and neutered, but they can't afford to, you can make some progress. And if you target feral cats, about 85-plus percent of the population already spays and neuters their pets. We spread the word probably about 20 years ago how important it was, and so we've accomplished that. But the two largest populations of animals that are still entering the shelter system are pets of the low income, and we've been able to track that in Pasco County and show that, you know, the zip codes with the highest poverty levels are contributing the most animals to the intake numbers at the shelter. And so our goal is to price spays and neuters at an affordable level for the low income and to have a feral cat program for those caretakers who are feeding feral cats.
And so, although we don't have time to really get into this in depth, I'm just going to assume, based on what you've outlined here, that, first of all, you're probably aware of sort of the whole TNR controversy brewing in Hillsborough County and assume from what you're saying also that you're in support of TNR, TNBR continuing.
Absolutely.
Okay. Cool. So this is all kind of hooked into our event this Saturday. Tell us a little bit about Pause in the Park. It's this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at San Antonio City Park. But why don't you tell us what all is going to be happening during that time?
So Pause in the Park is basically we're just trying to get everyone to come out and support the human-animal bond. We're going to have the blessing of the pets, an agility demonstration, a dancing dog demonstration, what's called lure coursing, where your dog can run through a track and kind of chase a lure like a greyhound would, and that seems to be real popular, and some pet contests like most fashionable pet and best pet trick. So we would love to have everyone, you know, come out and just have a good time. We also have about 10 rescues that will be participating that will have adoptable pets that are in need of good homes.
Sure. And so, Dr. Maddox, it sounds like this is probably more of something to sort of bring people together, hopefully adopt out some pets and kind of raise awareness of Spay-Pasco and rather than necessarily a fundraising event. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. We certainly accept donations. We'll have some T-shirt sales, and we've raised some funds with our sponsors. But you are correct. It's mostly about awareness.
Yeah. And do you feel optimistic about the problem that you identified and sort of what you've tried to do to help address it with Spay-Pasco?
I do feel optimistic. We originally started using grant funds. And we were starting to see a decrease in the numbers of animals entering the shelter. And then we've recently, about 9 months ago, were able to show the county how important this program was. And so we now have county funding for hopefully at least the next 5 years. And so, yes, we're planning to track the numbers and hopefully see this program make a big impact.
And have you found that obviously you're a veterinarian yourself? Have you found that generally your colleagues in the area and beyond have supported the program and your efforts?
They have, and these surgeries are done through your regular veterinarian. Typically, we have about 14 participating clinics in Pasco County. You do have to be approved through Spay-Pasco and pay a small copay, $10 for a cat, $20 for a dog. That includes also, in addition to the spay and neuter surgery, a rabies vaccine and a county license. Each household's allowed to do 3 pets per year. And so once you're screened and approved, we give you a list of participating clinics where you can have the surgery.
Wow. Well, that sounds pretty nifty, and again, highly affordable, which obviously is one of the key goals. So for more information, I assume would people go to Spay-Pasco about the program and/or about Pause in the Park?
Correct. You can visit spaypasco.com, and there's all kinds of information on both of our programs, in addition to information on Pause in the Park.
That's great. Well, good luck. It sounds like it's going to be a blast this Saturday. Again, that's this Saturday, September 29th at San Antonio City Park, San Antonio, Florida, of course, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. So, Dr. Maddox, thanks you so much for all your efforts in putting Spay-Pasco together and maneuvering around some difficult territory, I'm sure, at times. And thanks also for this great event this Saturday.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. We're going to get back to a few more events, news, and announcements. So another thing coming up this weekend, in fact, under the auspices of ABC, it's Animal-Based Charities, will be also on September 29th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's a special pet adoption. It's a thrift store pet adoption involving Tampa Cat Crusaders and Pet Pals. So that'll be at 4340 South Manhattan Avenue in Tampa from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And you can always find out more by going to animalbasedcharities.org. Also coming up a little bit further down the road, October 6th, the Audubon Society, Clearwater Audubon Society, you can put it in that order if you like, we'll do its monthly bird walk, Moxon Lake Nature Park at 8 a.m. And if you're interested in participating, those field trips and programs are open to anyone who's interested in learning about Florida's environment. So you can call or email the appropriate contact. And in this case, that's Madeline Borer at 727-748-6885. Also coming up in the first part of October, Racing for Rescues. It's a big sort of family-oriented event dedicated to raising funds and donations for the animal rescues that will attend. And there'll be adoptions, canine educational demonstrations, silent auction, raffles, cutest doggy contest, pet donations, booth, games, food, and more. And that's at Showtime Speedway in Clearwater. And the event's taking place from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And you can find out more by calling 727-637-1968 or emailing racing4rescues, racing4rescues@gmail.com. There'll be a blessing of the animals coming up Sunday, October 7th at Good Samaritan Church. You can bring family pets to receive a hands-on blessing. Remember your pet on the memorial board and more. So you can find out more by calling 727-544-8558. It's Good Samaritan Church on October 7th from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Also coming up is the third annual Tampa Bay Veg Fest. That's October 13th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Cotecheroe Fort Brooke Park in Tampa. And be all kinds of great things offered, vegetarian and vegan food, eco-friendly and healthy living vendors, live music, speakers, films, kids activities, cooking demos, animal adoptions, and more, and including some great, great films, Farm to Fridge, which our guest last week, Jane Velez Mitchell, the TV journalist and best-selling author, particularly highlighted as an important piece. So that's showing Forks Over Knives. Great, great film. Veducated, which of course Doug Minow showed a while back, but for anybody who missed it, that's a tremendous film to see. The Witness and Peaceable Kingdom, The Journey Home. So those are just the films, and they got great speakers as well, including Dr. Michael Greger, who uploads a food and nutrition-oriented video every single day on nutritionfacts.org for, again, a price you can't beat, and Kenneth Williams, vegan champion bodybuilder, and anyways, it's just going to be a lot of fun. There's the cooking demonstrations are great. There's live music galore and many more things. So, in fact, next week on Talking Animals, we'll have Chief Organizer Isabel Tossi on with us to talk more about the event and some of the things that are new this year and just get us caught up to speed as we head into the period just before that festival. So, let's see. I think also, too, another sort of standard important event in the area is the 12th annual Stride for Strays Walk to benefit Animal Coalition of Tampa on Sunday, October 21st at Curtis Hickson Park. And now celebrating its 12th year, the event brings together animal lovers and their pets from all over the Tampa Bay area for a 3K walk to help raise funds for the ACT Spay-Neuter Clinic and their new larger facility. So, and if you don't want to walk or you're just not able to walk that day, there's plenty of other good things going on. Food, fun, entertainment, music, raffles, pet contests, and more. So, find out all about it at strideforstrays.org or at actampa.org. All right. I think, we will now go step into the comedy corner. And, it's exceedingly rare they're able to spotlight the show's guest in the Comedy Corner, but we get to today. This is Paula Poundstone with a piece called Cats Throw Up on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
You know, they always say the reason to study history is so that history doesn't repeat itself, and yet I don't think there's anything in our history that indicates that that's true. I think cats are living proof that that doesn't work. Because my cats, several times a day, smell one another's butts. And then they go like this. With total outrage. And I think to myself, oh, well, wait a minute. You did that this morning. What did you think was going to be different? Look on the poster for the mayor of Berlin. I sleep on the floor in the living room. I fall asleep every night listening to... Every single night. Not only that, my cats throw up rubber bands. You guys, if I went and rubber bands came out, I would think to myself, boy, I'm not going to eat those anymore. But my cats think they got a bad batch. They're willing to give it another shot almost every day. God, they're annoying.
All right, we've got Paula. It's time to speak with Paula Poundstone. You've hear her regularly on NPR's quiz show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. You've seen her on approximately a zillion TV shows, including her own network show, cable specials galore. And she'll be performing locally soon, October 6th to be exact, at Stras Center's Ferguson Hall. And we're delighted that she's here on the radio with us today. So with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Paula Poundstone back to Talking Animals. Good morning, Paula.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm thank you for just pulling over and doing this in the midst of carpool, no less.
Yeah, I was carpooling. You know what? My son now goes to a school that it's part of an animal rescue program.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, he's not yet been rescued, but
okay.
They're feeding him from an eyedropper right now. So when you pull up at the school, it's the coolest thing. When you pull up at the school to pick him up, first of all, there's these two huge tortoises out in this enclosure that are one of my favorite parts of my day.
Sure.
And then there's these enormous, tropical birds that have, been smuggled or something, and so now they're, traumatized, and they're trying to regrow feathers.
Okay.
But it's kind of cool.
Wow, that's great. So what grade is he in that this is part of his kind of curriculum?
He's a freshman.
Wow.
The other day he had to do some research on a puffer fish, and by the way, it turns out they don't like the puff.
They just do it as a defensive thing, you mean?
Yeah, but I think he said they can only do it three times, maybe even in their lifetime. I
wow.
might be slightly off on that. But, yeah, you know, I think a lot of us thought they just puffed for pleasure and repeatedly. But, no. So I said to him one day, he had done the research on the pufferfish, and then I said to him, I said, well, you know, the following day, I go, well, what'd you do, you know, in zoology today? He said, we fed the pufferfish. It's just not every classroom where we fed the pufferfish.
Right. No, that beats the heck out of just doing a plain old spelling test or something. Jeez.
Yeah, honestly. And I don't know that it means that, you know, he's necessarily in life going to be a, you know, I don't know how much career work there is in feeding pufferfish, but.
Well, if they have any call for it, he'll be really well equipped. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess what I'm doing right now is just networking on his behalf.
That's great. So okay. All right. I'll keep his
pufferfish family out there.
Right.
I just want you to know.
I'll keep his contact info on file. That'll be good. Mm-hmm. So otherwise, Paula, I'm going to sort of talk about, at least now, a very surprising topic, cats. So,
right.
Now I know we spent some time talking about cats the last time you were on, but.
Did I tell you that I hate cats now? Did I tell you that?
What's
Did
that?
I tell you that I've had it with cats?
Oh, really? Wow.
Did I tell you I hate them? Yo, I'm so annoyed with my cats.
Wow, this is going to change the tenor of this interview considerably. That's
yeah.
remarkable. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm put me number one on the cat hater list. My cat started doing territorial peeing about, I don't know, maybe it's been a year since I've been in purgatory. It's so awful. And the problem is now, A, that I clean for a living, and B, that even if I went, okay, it's that cat, and I went, okay, like my cat Tonks, for example, is a particular transgressor. Like right in front of me, she's done. Even if I said, okay, it's, you know, it's Tonks, let me maybe have someone else take Tonks. The problem is that now they all do it. So you
wow.
couldn't even winnow the herd.
The culprit, yeah.
Yeah, it is really, really frustrating. I mean, they're still fun to pet and watch,
mm-hmm.
but boy, there are days, and I know this is going to shock you and your listeners,
yeah.
but there are days where I would like to not look for cat pee.
Yeah, well, that doesn't seem all that shocking, really. But now, first of all, let's establish or reestablish. Is last time we spoke, the feline population was 16 at your house? Is that
yeah? Well,
remains
16 and holding. And for anybody stupid enough to have, you know, multiple cats, let me just say, stop now.
wow. You know, I was going to ask you before this conversation happened. Like, hey, are there ever moments where you find yourself
like this?
Well, I thought, you know, here, there are moments where you find yourself thinking, my God, we have 16 cats, but it sounds like you've reached that point and beyond.
Yeah. Yeah. A friend of mine works at a place called the Tree People Park in Los Angeles. It's up on Mulholland Drive and off of Mulholland Drive, and it's this beautiful stretch of preserved, you know, nature. A lot of people like to hike in and stuff. And,
yeah.
And they do education up there and, you know, they do tree planting and blah, blah, blah. And apparently they had a cat for a while, and they've had a rat problem because their cat died. And so I offered him Tonks, and he said, well, is she an outdoor cat? And I said, well, she's got to be.
Yeah,
she
instantly.
She's getting up and fly right, for God's sakes. I can only take so much.
Wow.
I said four times a day, Duncan. Don't you think that's enough?
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask too, on a related note, like with 16 cats, how many litter boxes are there, scattered around the compound?
Are you supposed to have litter boxes?
I don't know.
Oh,
I just got
now
a glimpse of something.
I realized my mistake.
Yeah, that might have something to do with the, constant urine.
Yeah, it really could. No, we have four litter boxes, and I am in constant service to the litter boxes. On the other hand, you know, there's a silver lining here. I am really good at it.
Yeah, good at the scooping, you mean?
Yeah, I have a gift. I absolutely have a gift. I'm thinking of doing some sort of training video. You know, I have a 24-hour website camera.
Yeah.
On my cat's food and water bowls. And I must say, I was watching Tonks last night, because even though she was right there in front of me, I still watch it on the screen sometimes. what's really great about it is we have a see-through. I use a baking dish for their water bowl.
Yeah.
And it's see-through, and it's lit from the bottom. And so I must say,
yeah,
they do look really beautiful. What I had hoped for was that we could, you know, people would see the majesty of multiple cats eating, because it is so funny sometimes. But, in fact, usually when there's multiple cats eating, one cat's butt is blocking the camera.
Sure. Well, I was going to say, first of all, for people listening who want to check it out, Paula's website is paulapoundstone.com, and then you just kind of scroll down, and there it is on the left-hand side, the Poundstone Diner cam. And so, how did you decide to install that initially? Was it just kind of for fun, for your fans, for, I mean, what prompted that?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted people to see the, you know, the majesty of the 16 cats.
Yeah.
We, you know, we're a little, our hands are a bit tied because I really don't want people seeing me, you know, scuff through in the morning.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to preserve the privacy of our home. And so
sure.
We had to have the camera, you know, sort of facing the wall where the dishes are.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of limiting space-wise. But on the other hand, you do get, like, a really lovely shot of them. And they do that great thing where they, I don't know why they do this, but they take their food from the food bowl and then spit it into the
water
bowl.
Yeah.
And then, because I think it's because I get this kind of cat food that comes in fish shapes.
Okay. So they're making the connection themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm
this belongs in the water. Yeah.
Surely they've read the bag.
Right.
And then they fish. You know, once it's in there,
sure.
There's a little fishing,
with their paw,
you know,
yeah.
With their paw, yeah, yeah.
Well, I have to say, I've been spending more time sort of in preparation for our talk today watching the Poundstone Diner cam. And I guess some of my observations, which I've already changed a little bit, but, you know, certainly a high proportion of gray cats, I think that's unassailable.
Yeah.
Mostly one at a time, it seems like, to a surprising extent, and then all of a sudden there'll be, you know, traffic with at least two or three gathered around. And the other thing
you notice that my cat Matilda, who's weighing in at a good 18 pounds now, you know, I used to, before we had the diner cam, I used to think maybe Matilda had, like, a thyroid problem or something, but I watch occasionally when I'm on the road, I'll flip it on for company, you know, when I'm in a hotel, and I realize, no, you know what, that Matilda is no stranger to the bowl.
Right, well, that's the thing, I mean, you know, but most of the others, what I also notice, is they don't really seem to linger very long and pig out. I mean, they kind of just say, okay, this is what I came for, I'm good, thanks. And another thing is that most of them, not always, but most of them eat facing the camera, which I think is very considerate. I mean, if you sometimes it's blocked or they'll walk in and then just sort of park themselves. But a surprising percent of the time, at least what I've been watching lately, you know, you get a nice view of them enjoying their food and or water.
Well, that comes from training.
Sure. Well, they're in kind of a showbiz family, so they probably have an instinct for that.
Yeah. Well, there's you know, yeah, they've learned. There's, you know, it's not easy to train, but you can. And you don't have enough room there to see the runway, but you should see the model outfits.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe when we can expand the diner cam. Hey, let me let folks know, this is Talk Animals. If you just tuned in, we're speaking with comedian Paula Poundstone, who you can hear regularly on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And you can see right here in Tampa on October 6th at the Stras Center's Ferguson Hall. If you'd like to ask Paula a question, offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663 or email dj@wmnf.org. So, now here's sort of a delicate issue, and I think you've already kind of maybe inadvertently addressed it, but is there a cat or two amongst that squad that you're just not overly fond of, you know, sort of the odd cat out, as it were?
No, you know, I love all my cats,
mm-hmm.
but a strong cadre of them at this point have nothing to do with me.
Oh, why is that?
My cat, because I'm the nail cutter.
Oh,
and
my
the medicine
God.
Giver.
Yeah.
And
to be
so,
feared and
like,
dreaded. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, my daughter, Allie, used to, she would, we'd say, okay, we got to do cat claws. And so what we'd do is she would go grab one, and then I'd cut its claws, and then she'd write his name down on the list to say that it already got done. And because it won't come to me. So, I mean, a handful of them will, but a lot of them won't because I'm the mean person who cuts their claws.
Sure.
So now Allie's gone to college, and I'm telling you, I'm not going to be able to catch those cats until their claws are so long that they get stuck on the carpet.
Right.
And then I have a shot at it.
You'll rope them in by their claws, yeah.
Yeah, like my cat Wednesday won't come anywhere near me, although we did have a breakthrough with Oreo last night.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Well, and
by the way, do you ever see the puppy go through and eat the cat food?
The puppy?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. You know, in fact, I was going to ask, like, how often over the years and all these cats there have been a dog presence. So I didn't know there was a puppy. I just haven't been tuning in, I guess, at the right time. What kind of puppy is there?
Nor have I, because if I did, I would catch him at it and make him stop.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Every now and then I just come through and I see like one half the bowl, right, all the way down to the bottom of the bowl, and that indicates that the puppy has been through.
Puppy presence.
Yeah, because he puts his snout all the way down, whereas the other cats, they almost never see the bottom of the bowl.
Yeah. Well, again, I was saying before that usually they're very sort of gentle and polite, munchers. Really, nobody's feasting. I never saw the big one that you referred to, I guess, on camera. But, wow, so how long has there been a dog at the house? That must be quite an interesting sort of shift in dynamics.
No, we've had dogs for years, but... This one is a little cat food obsessed.
Yeah.
Sirius. He's a German Shepherd mix. I think he's mixed with Golden Retriever, but I'm not really sure. And I'm, not one of those people who would do a DNA test on a dog.
Right.
Not unless I thought he committed a crime, in which case, absolutely.
Yeah, then it'd be required.
Yeah.
So now, listen, Paul. Okay, so over the years, there have been lots of cats in your life. Obviously, there's lots of cats in your life now. I mean, what sort of things have you learned from them? There must be at least some life lessons or wisdom that they may have imparted, even if inadvertently.
Well, sure. Because I've had a lot of cats die, some when they were kittens, some because they were really old. And, I don't mess around too much with, I do some medical intervention, but there's, a point at which I just wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, what I learned?
Yeah. No.
I learned that you got to chase the string while you can.
Wow.
Yeah, it's deep, isn't it?
I like it. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. You're right. Sometimes I go to the vet and people be in there with the same animal that I've seen them in there with before. Now, each time I return, I have someone different. At the vet, this is part of the protocol, which is you look into the container of another. You look into the animal carrier.
Yeah.
And no matter what you see in there, no matter how horrific, you say, isn't that beautiful?
Right.
That's just part of the vet protocol.
Absolutely.
People are so funny, people will be like, well, Fluffy's in again. They'll say, well, we come every day with Fluffy, and he gets, injections every day.
Wow.
And I just feel like I don't, sometimes I look in and I realize I don't think Fluffy is even alive.
Yeah.
They've replaced his back paws with wheels. The front leg appears to be a bent coat hanger.
Yeah.
And the fur is carpet scraps. And I say to myself, there's a beginning and a middle and an end.
Yeah.
And you got to chase the string while you can.
And Fluffy may have gone a step or two beyond that. And
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, by the way, that my cats, they don't enjoy the vet, and nor do my dogs.
Yeah.
And I don't think my bunny did. And therefore, I don't know. You always try to put yourself in the place of your cat and say, well, I wouldn't like that.
Right. Well, but I think there's intervention, and then there's, hey, we're going every day to keep Fluffy going, even though Fluffy otherwise isn't really going, and those are two different things, so.
Yeah, it's my own personal philosophy. I wouldn't, tell somebody else.
Sure.
What to do.
Right. Well, yeah. Paul, I know we only have like a minute or two, maybe at the most, left with you. So I know there's at least a few folks who want to maybe speak with you. Let me just take at least one of these calls. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Paula Poundstone. Hi, it's you. Hello? Last chance. I can hear you. Too bad you can't hear me. Oh, go ahead.
A lot of your callers are very, very shy.
Yeah. And noisy. Okay, well, that's too bad. But all right, so Paula, you know, one of the reasons we want to do this today is that you're coming into the Tampa area on October 6th, doing a show at Straz Center's Ferguson Hall.
Wait. I haven't been in Florida in a long time.
I know. And you haven't been on, you know, I live on the other coast. You haven't been there, I think, in a really long time. But anyways, we're you know, we're happy that you're coming to the Straz Center's Ferguson Hall on October 6th. And gosh, you know, we've known each other for, I think, 25 years, and you've been doing stand-up for 30-plus. I mean, are there ways that your approach to doing stand-up at this point has changed notably, or does it just sort of feel like, well, I've been doing it, I've been getting better at it, and it's just kind of what I do?
I think one thing that is changed, and probably it comes somewhat from my cat philosophy, which is I just relish my job.
Yeah.
I mean, I always knew that it was fun to do.
Sure.
But I don't think I always was really clear that many alternatives are not so much fun. You know, maybe too, just during the difficult economic times, and you know, you kind of look around and go, wow, I get to go tell jokes on stage to a group of people who've come to laugh for the night.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, it just feels great. It's very... you know, I'm a proud member of the endorphin production industry.
Right.
I think it's very healthy both for the people who come and for me.
Yeah.
And so I just, I really, really appreciate doing it. I look forward to it. I love thinking of stuff that I think that is funny so that I can share it with other people. And, you know, it's the greatest job in the world.
And,
you know, if I could disapparate to get there, it would be unbelievably great.
Right, it's the travel that's I'm sure the huge kind of drawback
really cool
at this point.
But yeah.
Well, one quick thing, when you say thinking of things that you want to share, I mean, do you even at this point prepare a set even loosely, or just sort of step on stage and think, well, this thing happened earlier today, maybe I'll talk about that, but just sort of trust that something fun and funny is going to unfold just because that's what you do and you've been doing it so well and so long?
Well, I suppose it's a little bit of both. I mean, I try to, you know, my favorite part of the night is just plain talking to the audience. I do the time-honored, where are you from, what do you do for a living?
Yeah.
And in this way, little biographies emerge, and I kind of use that to set my sails for what to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But I also really make a you know, a very conscious effort to be always bringing in addition to that, obviously, is unscripted, but also to bringing in new material, both on, you know, sort of current events and what I'm doing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And just to keep it fresh, I like to think of it as, you know, Willy Wonka's chocolate river, where the chocolate, you know,
sure,
the waterfall, the chocolate waterfall turns to chocolate. And,
absolutely.
You know, I kind of feel like my life is the chocolate waterfall.
I got you. So your life is a chocolate waterfall, just to review, since I think we're out of time, and you have to chase the string while you can. I think if we could sort of emerge with two salient points from our chat, that would probably, those would be the ones.
Yeah, I have a lot of depth.
Yeah, awesome. All right, well, Paula, thank you so much for making the time, pulling over in the midst of carpool, no less, to talk with us. And again, folks can see Paula October 6th at the Straz Center's Ferguson Hall. You can go to paulapoundstone.com to find out more info and see those cats in action at the diner cam. And she's also on Facebook at Paula Poundstone and Twitter's and the whole nine yards. So thank you, Paula. We'll look forward to speaking to you soon.
Duncan, it was great talking to you. Thanks so much.
All right, take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. We'll be back next Wednesday, October 3rd, when our guest will be Isabel Tossey, chief organizer of the Tampa Bay Veg Fest, taking place October 13th at Cotenchobee Fort Brooke Park from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Talking Animals Outreach Broadcast Consultant is Libby Busalis. My thanks to her. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. If you want more news and information, just turn to our digital channel. The Tom Hartman Show starts up at noon at WNF.org/thesource. But otherwise, stay tuned for the wonderful Scott Elliott and the All Souls edition of It's the Music, airing next from noon to 3. We're closing out today's show in a moment, but I just want to remind you, if you'd like tickets, you'd like to pledge for tickets to see Paula Poundstone at the Stras Center's Ferguson Hall on October 6th, and like to support Talking Animals and WNF in the process, call right now, 813-239-9663. All right, we're closing out today's show with an animal tune, brand new music from Tame Impala, with a song called Elephant, taking us up to the NPR News on WMNF, Tampa, Brandon, Braden, Largo, Weekiwachi, and beyond. Speak of you next week on Talking Animals.
Please come to me.